What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Wednesday to you. We are live. We are in Southern California, and we are in the Quicken Loan Studios like we are every single Monday through Friday. Once again, great to be here. Nice to have you. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We have a tremendous show. Lots of content. Lots of content, some excellent interviews, and I feel pretty good about the phone calls, too. Let me lay it out for you very quickly, right off the top. Interviews start next segment. If you want to get in the rotation, go ahead and do it. Telephone number, as you know, 1-800-636-8686. Toll free, good in the U.S., good in Canada, good wherever you are. 1-800-636-8686. The better the call, the shorter the wait. It's funny how that works out. The better the call, the shorter the wait. The worse the call, the longer the wait. If it's a really bad call, it'll never make it to air. If it's a really good call, you don't wait. You go right to the front of the line. It might be the biggest bag move ever, cutting the line. I don't have an issue with it right here. If it makes the show better, you can cut the line. 1-800-636-8686. Or follow me on Twitter if you want to do that. Or do both. Follow me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this. Former NFL quarterback Carson Palmer, next segment. Have not had him on the show in a minute or two. Carson Palmer coming up next. Next hour, Major Applewhite, head coach at Houston, joins us. North Texas, Mean Green head football coach, Seth Littrell, coming up in hour number three. So that's how it looks on a Wednesday. Also the ATP. And something else, very quick programming note. The way our podcasts go right now, we now have the RPO, which is on Mondays. The Jim Rome podcast has been dropping typically on Tuesday. We're going to move that to Wednesday. So the RPO, Rome Price Opinion, on Mondays, and the Jim Rome podcast on Wednesdays. Today's guest for Ep 50, my childhood hero, the Penguin, Ron Say, in studio. I was thinking to myself, who should we do for the half century? Who would be good for the 50th? And for the longest time, I've said, I don't have any favorites. I don't play favorites. Yeah, not when I was a kid, though. When I was a kid, I had favorites. My favorite athlete growing up, Ron Say. So we come full circle. And I've got to get the story about how Seth, or I should say Lef, got him hooked up for the RSVP call for the Smackoff. So we got a really good Wednesday. Let's get at it. Topic number one, Matt Patricia. Let me start right there. Matt Patricia, having himself a week. His Lions picked off the very first pass of his first game as an NFL head coach and returned it for a touchdown. Pick six. And given this guy's defensive background, that's amazing. That was absolutely incredible. As a former D coordinator, it does not get any better than that. And you saw Detroit Rock City off the hook. It felt like Detroit had finally found the badass it had been looking for. Until it didn't. Until the New York Jets outscored Matt Patricia's Detroit Lions 48-10 the rest of the way. Until their fans started booing the team on opening night. Until their fans started to flat out leave the building. Until the Jets players started talking about how they knew what plays the Lions were going to run before they even ran them. Until the Detroit Free Press ran a piece with the headline, and I quote, Matt Patricia is in over his head, end quote. Until everybody remembered that none of Bill Belichick's assistants seemed to be worth a damn without the hood and TB12. I mean, they all struggle when they leave, but never as much as Patricia did in week one. I mean, damn. That was a brutal start. Almost as brutal as the Detroit Free Press pointing out that Patricia had the single worst debut in Lions head coaching history. Now, I don't know if you've checked out the list of legends who have patrolled the Lions sideline, but we're not exactly talking about Vince Lombardi and John Madden. I mean, if you're one game into your career and you're already being mentioned with the likes of Marty Morningwig, you're in trouble. But it's only one game, right? It's only one bad night, right? Shake it off and focus on week two, right? Not exactly. Because ever since the game ended, Matt Patricia has had to spend time explaining to people that opposing defenses, knowing your plays before you run them, really is not that unusual. It's not that big of a thing. He actually told the Detroit Free Press, and I quote, I think we're talking about something that's pretty common to when you have to face an opponent. There's going to be things that they're very familiar with. Obviously, I would say on both sides of the ball, there is some high familiarity with some of the things that we do that we worked in practice. They just obviously out-executed us, and that was the biggest problem, end quote. So this rocket scientist works and waits his entire life for this shot. I'm guessing the very last thing he expected to do was have to convince people that it's just not that big of a deal that the opposition, and not just the opposition, but the freaking Jets, knew exactly what they were going to run before they ran it. The last thing he expected to do was go all cat with it and try and tell the world, happens all the time.
Happens to us all.
Happens to us all.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, except for one thing, Matt. It doesn't happen all the time, and it doesn't happen to us all. But it just happened to you. And that's really not the argument you want to be going with. Trust me. Not unless you want people to think you are in way over your head. You don't know what the hell you're doing. I mean, sure, the NFL is a professional league. Opposing coaching staffs have a lot of people breaking down a lot of film, trying to figure out tendencies. But that's the thing. They're figuring out tendencies. They're not calling out your entire playbook at the line of scrimmage. There's, quote, high familiarity, and then there's knowing exactly what you're going to do before you do it for an entire game. And that's not the only fire this guy's facing in the D. There's also a report from Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network that Patricia was hearing from a number of vets already in the Lions locker room who are griping about the number of rules that he put in place and about how hard he was going after guys in training camp. You know, the same old deal with everybody who shakes loose from that Belichick tree and gets their shot. They try to act exactly like Belichick, but without the rings and the cred that the hood has. And it never works. Ask any of them who have tried. Hell, ask all of them. So, I get the idea that Patricia wants to change the culture. Anytime any coach comes in, they say that. It stands to reason. If the guy before them got fired, there needs to be a change in culture. Patricia was brought in to do that. But if you're going to crack down with a lot of rules and you're going to work guys that hard in camp and then ban them from going on social and in effect act like you're Bill freaking Belichick, when you haven't won a single game yet as a head coach, then you sure as hell better get results. And losing by 31 at home to a rookie quarterback making his first NFL start is not the kind of result that I'm talking about. Bottom line, does it mean that Matt Patricia has already lost that team? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I am saying that may have been the ugliest 60 minutes of football I've ever seen. And not just from the Lions, but from anyone. And if the vets were tripping before the season even started, it's going to be a lot worse after that humiliating hospital job in front of the entire world. You know, just like that shaggy beard and that pencil behind his ear. Being a hard ass is awesome when you're winning. But it looks stupid when you're getting blown out at home by a team that won 5 games last year. Going to be damn near impossible to get a buy-in from your new team if they've already tuned you out completely. Yes, it's only one game. And no, I don't want to see you Lion fans completely freaking out and burning your Lions gear. But I wouldn't blame you if you did, because it's not just about how that team played Monday night, which was terrible, disorganized, incompetent. They didn't look like they had a new coach. They looked like they had no coach. And at least for one night, having no coach would have been better than having that coach, because I've never seen that team look any worse than it did that night. And that's a team that has run the table in reverse. Instead of pissing them off, coach them up. Because if you really are a rocket scientist, now is the time to prove it. Sure, Matt, you can put a man on the moon, but can you stop a halfback screen? That's the sound of me giving myself a tongue. Some fire for you, D. Now what? It's only one game. Or is it? That could not have gone any worse. 1-800-636-8686. And no, notice that I just took the better part of, I don't know, 7 minutes to lay out that take. And didn't once reference how much he weighed. Make your take. express your point without talking about how much this guy may or may not weigh. Do that. I did. I just spent 7 minutes on the guy without doing it. Mike D for three tweets. Matt Patricia seems like he's pretty useless. Signed, Matt Patricia's pencil behind his ear. That's what I just said myself. Sure, the shaggy beard. Notice I didn't say the gut. The belt-busting gut. I didn't say that. I said the shaggy beard and the pencil behind the ear. Yeah, that's all great. And so it's being a hard ass if you get results. But not that one. Yeah, pencil behind the ear smacks good. I like that. I mean, why does dude have a pencil behind his ear? Rome, Matt Patricia said that knowing what happens before the play is normal. Not for me. Regards, Abraham. Abraham who? Abraham who, Steve? I only know one Abraham. Lincoln. Like, where are you going with that? Oh, they both had beards. That's good, Steve. Just like all your contributions, Steve. Hey, Hawk, you're the EP, right? Why do you ever bring me any of this guy's stuff? None of it's funny. And one more. Hey, Rome. Just flew into town last night. Never been to California before. But when getting to my hotel, the water pressure in the shower was really good. You guys have really good water in LA. It's the weirdest thing. When we were landing, I didn't see any major lakes or anything. Where do you guys get your beautiful water from? Pot storingly yours, Matt in Poland Springs via LA. Warn me already being the best Matt in LA contributor to the program. Unwarn me stuck on this highway in my Uber while writing my email. Welcome to LA. It's true, isn't it? Yeah, you on the East Coast, you're not used to that. You're not used to water pressure like that. I know. When I go back to New York, I don't get water pressure like that in the city. Here in SoCal, we do. In terms of where do we get that water from? NoCal. NoCal, always. And they're happy to share it with us. Aren't you NoCal? Matt in Poland Springs saying he's already the best contributing Matt in LA, and he's been here one day. Dude, don't do that. Don't do that. You know what happens when you do that? When you take a run at and you call out Matt in LA, then Matt in LA calls. Except last we heard from Matt in LA, he was Matt in San Diego going on and on about how awesome the show sounds on FM on 97.3 The Fan in San Diego. All right, then. Other things. Quickly. Le'Veon Bell, not with the team, but he was in a club. Not with the team, but in the club. There was a Hugh Freeze sighting, which I want to get into. An update on Dustin Johnson. Edwin Encarnacion leaving the yard again. I've got to take on the Seattle Mariners and King Felix. Thoughts on RPO. Everybody's talking about RPO, including Pat Fitzgerald. And yes, clones, even though I mentioned earlier this week I'm not, quote, a big Beatles guy, I saw that big Beatles story with Paul McCartney. We're not talking about it. We're just not. When we come back, Carson Palmer joins us. Get on the phone. Hit me up. You know, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. I mean, you might think that it makes you look casual, but more than likely, it just makes you look like a slob, like you're sloppy. That's why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, but not too short. It's just right. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them, quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. And not only do they look good, but they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every guy can find the perfect shirt. So log on to untuckit.com, check out all the new fall arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It at any of their 35 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% savings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Well, I'm efforting Carson Palmer. Let me just take one moment and tell you about this. Building pros, listen up. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you need for all your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing, dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get your flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. If you're worried about selection and availability, do not be. Lumber Liquidators has got over 150 million square feet of flooring available, with over 100,000 square feet in stock in most of their stores. Plus, they stock professional-grade adhesives, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, and grout, so you can get exactly what you need when you have to have it. If you're too busy to pick up that flooring, also not a problem. The LL Pro Plus team will deliver it right to your job, and with LL Pro Plus, you can even get a business line of credit. So put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who played 15 years in the NFL, a three-time Pro Bowler, 12th all-time in passing yardage and TDs. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, a consensus All-American. He was the first pick in the 03 draft out of USC. Today, he appears courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL program. Carson Palmer is my guest. Carson, great to have you back on. Good morning. How are you?
Jim, it's been a while. I'm excited to talk to you. How are things?
Carson,
how's the West Coast?
Yeah, man, that's funny you said that. I was going to say, man, I'm really happy to talk to you, too. It's been a while. Things are great here. It's great to have you on. Let me first ask you, you announced your retirement, Carson, back in January. So first things first, how is retired life treating you?
Retired life is good. You know, I was a little worried going into the weekend after I watched my SC Trojans, you know, take the L on Saturday. And then I was a little worried about my first chance to sit back and watch football. But I saw some of the hits these guys are taking and remember that feeling. And I'm much happier. I'm the spokesman for FedEx's Air and Ground player this year. And I'm much, much happier and much more comfortable talking FedEx and talking the Air and Ground players of the week, as opposed to trying to win one as a quarterback like these guys are week in, week out this year.
Carson Palmer joining us, and he is appearing courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground and the NFL program there, which I will get to momentarily. You know, Carson, when you announced your retirement, you said in a statement over the course of your career that when you had teammates retire, you'd ask them, how did you know it was time? And generally they would say, you just know. So how did you know it was time to step away?
I just knew. My body let me know throughout my last year, and probably year 12, 13, 14 were parts of my career where I was thinking, you know, is this it? Do I have one more? Do I want to play one more? And the answer was always the same, yes, yes, and yes. And I got to year 14 and could start to feel father time and start to feel the hits that had left a lasting impression, and just knew that was it. And I knew, you know, there was a chance that somebody would get hurt and my agent would get a call and maybe I'd play one more. But I got to the point where I just knew, and I had played a long time and had a lot of great memories and met some amazing people along the way. But it was time. My body knew it was time. And I've got four young kids that needed more of my time. So it was a pretty easy decision for me.
Carson Palmer joining us here in the jungle. So you mentioned your alma mater, USC, your fellow USC alum, Sam Darnold. Carson could not have started his NFL career any worse than he did, throwing that pick six on his first play from scrimmage. But the guy bounced back, and he showed so much composure the rest of the way on Monday night. So what's that say about him not only as a player but as a leader?
Well, that's what you're defined by. You know, it's how you react and how you overcome bad things that happen. Because everybody's going to miss a pass and throw an interception and all those things. But it's what you do on the next series, and it's what you do throughout the rest of the game. And to see – you know, he drops back and rolls out and throws that ball and ends up in the other end zone. There is no worse feeling than that. And it's easy to go in the tank. You're on Monday Night Football. You're the youngest starter in Jets history. And, you know, all these things. And he blocked it out. He moved on to the next play. He didn't dwell on it. It didn't affect the rest of his game. And it just shows you how mature he is. He may be young you know, he's everybody's talking about how young he is and he left college early, and he's the youngest player in X amount of years. But you're only as young as you play, and he played like a veteran, and he showed that team that it's not too big for him. It's not too big of a moment, and he made the best of his opportunity. And we're just going to continue to see him grow. He's going to have his struggles throughout the year, but you saw the resiliency in him on Monday night.
Carson Palmer joining us. Great to talk to him. Carson, you mentioned that he left college early, and then at USC right now you've got a guy who left high school early in JT Daniels. I mean, he's just starting off right now, but he's really precocious and really unique. What do you think when you see him?
I absolutely love his game. I've been following him. He's, as you know, an Orange County guy. He went to Mater Dei High School, and my brother's been working with him for a long time, been telling me about him since I think he was in like sixth or seventh grade, sending me videos. And, so JT Daniels goes way back with me, and I really think he has a chance to be one of the best to ever play at USC. He is so calm and cool and smart, and you saw some – I know they lost on Saturday night, but you saw some great vision. He's great in the pocket. He's really slippery in the pocket and hard to get his hands on, and he could throw the ball all over the field. So I'm really excited, and you rarely – from a college standpoint, go from a Sam Darnold to a JT Daniels. A lot of times you go from Sam Darnold's success and all the things he brought to university, and you have a lull and you have some years where you're trying to find that next guy. Well, Coach Helton and USC have done a great job finding the next guy because he's it.
Carson Palmer joining us. You know, Carson, when you played, everybody who played with you, guys who played against you, always talked about your legendary toughness. As an example, you broke your arm last season against the Rams, yet you were still jogging around on the sideline. And according to Drew Stanton, you still tried to get back into the game in the next series. I mean, were you just kind of wired like that? Where to play that position in that league, you've got to be tough, but you had next level toughness. Where did that come from? Was that a mindset or something else?
I think it's always a mindset. But that was my game. You know, every quarterback knows their niche and their game and their strengths and their weaknesses. My weakness was getting outside the pocket and trying to run with the ball. I wasn't running past or over anybody. My strength was sitting in the pocket, being able to take big hits. You know, being a 6'5", 245-pound guy, I was built for that. I wasn't built to get outside the pocket and run. So, you know, I knew that was where I needed to excel, and that was something I needed to have success. And I don't know, I did some different stuff in the off season, I guess, over the years, kind of developing a pain tolerance by actually finding ways to put yourself in pain and kind of block it out and focus on other things. And, you know, it's just everybody has to find their own sweet spot or their own thing that kind of separates them and makes them who they are. Every quarterback has to find that and has it, and that was what I used and one of the things that helped me excel.
That's pretty wild. I mean, so like what kinds of pain were you looking for in the offseason to help develop a greater tolerance for pain?
I spent a bunch of time at the end of workouts, whether kind of doing boxer type workouts, where I was laying on the ground and would take hits from a medicine ball. I would stand up in a throwing position and my trainer would have boxing gloves on and just kind of rattle your rib cage a little bit, get you used to that feeling of getting hit while you're throwing, that feeling of being tired, being exhausted, and then you take one right in the stomach that should knock the wind out of you, and fighting, you know, those opportunities where you really should have the wind knocked out of you, but you could train for that and build up tolerance and build up strength. I did a lot of those kinds of things, and I think they served me well.
Chris, one thought before I ask you about the FedEx program, and you've got plenty of time to talk about that. You mentioned your brother Jordan, and he's worked with some of the best young quarterbacks in the game, and a lot of people look to him in terms of development. I mean, he clearly has a knack for this sort of thing. Did he always have that kind of eye and that vision for it? When did you know that he could do that kind of work, the kind of work he's doing right now?
Not until I started training with him. We played together and for the Bengals for a handful of years, and I saw an ability to teach, but it wasn't until he had retired and I was working out with him in the summer with some of the guys he was training for the draft or some high school kids he was training locally, where I really realized he's a teacher. And everybody thinks, well, if you played, you can go into coaching and you can be a good coach. That's not true. There's something different about a great teacher that makes somebody a great coach. And you got to be able to relate to guys. You got to be able to, you know, some people hear things differently or they take things in differently. And you have to recognize that as a teacher and a coach. And he has that ability. He has that. That's one of his strengths, is realizing the best way to deliver a point and the best way for each individual guy that he's teaching or coaching, the best way to deliver the point for each guy. And that's something that's rare. That, you know, I've played for a ton of coaches, and not all of them are great teachers. So it's hard to find a coach that's a great teacher, and Jordan definitely has that ability.
Carson Palmer, my guest. You're working with FedEx on their Air and Ground NFL program and its relationship with the USO. It's a great program, Carson. Lay it out for me. How can the fans get involved, and exactly what is the program about?
Well, it's really cool. The USO Pathfinder program is really cool. It's inserting two service men or women to the Washington Redskins and two to the Tennessee Titans, and giving them an opportunity to work for an NFL team to see everything that's going on behind the scenes as they're getting ready to acclimate back to civilian life. And that's what the USO does. That's what their specialty is. They help our retired service men and women move on to what's next after they retire from serving our country. So FedEx is doing an unbelievable thing. I'm honored to be the spokesperson for the year. So, Jim, make sure you're voting each week. I'm voting for Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Air Player this week. That's my guy. Rhino Fitz is my guy, so I got to vote for him. And Saquon Barkley for the Ground Player of the Week. And FedEx is donating $2,000 on behalf of the Air and Ground Player each week. So $4,000 goes to the USO. It's a great program. You can vote online. You can vote on Twitter, on Facebook. Make sure you hashtag Air and Ground and get the chatter going.
Well done. Carson, I don't know if you know this or not, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, you may know this or maybe not. Did you know he went to Harvard?
I played with Rhino in Cincinnati for a couple of years, and he's one of my favorite teammates ever. He's one of my favorite guys currently to watch play. He is absolutely fearless. You saw him last week run over a safety on the goal line to get in the end zone. He plays like a linebacker. He can take off and run. He can absolutely spin it. I knew he went to Harvard, Yale. Which one is it?
He went to Harvard.
Yeah.
I know, amazing, right? No, you're right. He put his head down. He was amazing. Also, last thing, Carson, you are the subject of an NFL Network documentary, A Football Life. It's a great show. It's going to drop on Friday. Listen, you've always been amazing with the media, as evidenced from this interview, but you've never been somebody who was looking to make it about yourself. So are you looking forward to that as you get closer and closer to air?
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. You know, throughout my 15 years, I shied away from those kinds of things, and I never had a camera crew in my home around my kids and family, so it was the first time for that, which actually ended up being really, really fun for my kids, and it's a great chance. My kids went to games and were interested in the cheerleaders and the mascots and all the hot dogs and sodas and all that kind of stuff going on around them, and never really saw the football or were focused on football, so it's a really cool thing to kind of go all the way back to high school, my playing days, through college, through Cincinnati, Oakland, and then into Arizona. It's a really cool kind of yearbook for us to look at some point down the road and for them to reflect on and me to reflect on. But it's really cool. It gave me a chance to really kind of vent and let some things out that I kind of buried deep down inside and was so ingrained throughout my career to move on to the next play or move on to the next day or the next game. So it was a really cool opportunity, and I'm excited to watch it on Friday night.
I'm anxious to see it also. Carson Palmer appearing courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL program. Carson, so great to get caught up. Like you said, I can't speak for you, but I was really looking forward to talking to you once again and getting caught up. That was fun, man. That was a blast. Thank you so much, and great to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Good to talk to you, man.
You too, Carson. Have a great day. Great, great job. That was a great conversation. Didn't mean to keep you so long, but again, I haven't spoken to him in a while. That was fun. Carson Palmer. 15 years in the NFL, three-time Pro Bowler, 12th all-time in passing yardage and TDs. He had a great career. Heisman Trophy winner, consensus All-American, first pick overall. And he's got himself the NFL Life, A Football Life, which is going to air and appearing courtesy of the FedEx Air and Ground NFL program. Take a short time out. Your thoughts on it when we come back. Lots more to get to. Ton of content. I already gave you my thoughts on Matt Patricia. The Buffalo Bills are going with Josh Allen. I want to get into that as well, and lots more. But before I do anything else, time for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Again, so good to get caught up with Carson Palmer. All right, so we're open now until the middle of hour number two. I've got Major Applewhite coming in then. You want to call right now. you want to call right now. We are open for the next hour or so. 1-800-636-8686. If you don't want to call, just hit me up in the ATP. Ask the pros. We do it every Wednesday, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Don't tweet it. Don't email it. Don't ask me on the phones. We've got an address set up for it. CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit it there. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's see. What's going on Twitter? At Brian C60. Jim, you never have a whack take. Unlike me, sign Paul McCartney.
That's whack.
Said I'm not doing it. I said I'm not doing it. The only reason I referenced it sounds like something that they'd asked me on the Woodscopes. Hey, Rome, do you talk about stories because you want the clones to bring it up and then you pretend like you don't? It sounds like the kind of question I would get on that program. No, I referenced it because I was getting all of that and I wanted to preemptively put an end to that. I'm not doing it. By my mentioning it, that's not a green light for you to do it. It's a red light. Stop doing it. Because we're not doing it. That's why I brought that up. Moving along. This references F50, the Jim Rome podcast. Dear Jim, the Penguin. He's talking about Ron Say. The Penguin hitting an inside the park homer while with the Cubs was my favorite baseball moment. I have never seen legs move that fast, resulting in the slowest run possible. He also came to the park with his hand wrapped up. The story was he hurt his hand using exercise bands in his hotel room and somebody opened the door that they were attached to. Paul in Cedar Falls. I don't know if that's true or not. I do remember, and I want to get into this, because again, the Penguin, Ron Say, that was my guy. That was my idol growing up. When the Dodgers sent him to the Cubs, man, I was pissed. I was a teenager. You don't do the Penguin like that. He had just been one of the co-MVPs of the World Series. We will get into all those things. And also the fact that he showed up in the Left in Laguna RSVP call. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know exactly where that was shot. I've got to get the backstory on it. The Penguin's out there, I think, in front of his house. I think it was his house. And Randall jumped out of the bushes. And Ron Say could not have been a better sport. I've got to find out the backstory on that. And this guy has a straight take, and it's a good take. When Matt Patricia says, hey, listen, it's not that unusual that another team would know your tendencies. And never mind that apparently the Jets knew the playbook and they were calling out the plays at the line of scrimmage and knew exactly what the Lions were going to do before they did it. Matt Patricia's response to that was, it's not unusual. Teams know other teams' tendencies. This guy writes, Rome, how can the opposing team research your tendencies when it's your first game and you have none? Jim and Lansing, great point. And especially when you generally show none in the preseason. Good point. Let's talk about the Bills for a minute. Despite Nate Peterman having one of his worst days, never mind as a football player, but as a human being, in the opener against Baltimore. And that's saying something considering this is the same guy that threw five picks against the Chargers in a single half last season. Despite Nate going an entire half without a single first down and ending it with a QBR of 0.0 and ultimately giving way to Josh Allen, Bills head coach Sean McDermott had said no final decision had been made as to who was going to start week two. He said he was still evaluating both. You know, why he had to evaluate either more than 30 seconds after that game, I have no idea, but he is the coach and he did have them the postseason last year. So he said he was still evaluating both. Which, of course, was code for, do you think I'm an idiot? You think I want to run the future face of this franchise out there behind that O-line with no other talent around him and risk getting his skull cracked and his confidence shattered? We'll be looking at the tape and evaluating the play of both of the young men, and as soon as I know, you'll all know too. Well, apparently now McDermott knows, and he's telling Nate, to sit his ass down. See you never again, Nathan. Or at least until Allen does get concussed. A real, very real possibility, given the aforementioned dudes that are charged with protecting him, that are standing in front of him. Hey, listen, I wouldn't want to be Sean McDermott, because that's not as easy a call as it might appear. In fact, to me, having to make that call is the classic lose-lose situation. Because if you do run Peterman back out there, you're not only going to lose, you're going to be humiliated again. And yes, it does make some sense to try to protect your star rookie. And not just the rookie, but a top pick and a guy that you're banking on as the next coming of Jim Kelly. You don't want to get that guy maimed. You don't want to get his confidence shattered, because you can't protect him. Then again, you run Peterman back out there against a Charger team that destroyed him last year, and then you risk losing your entire locker room in week two. I mean, let's be real, Bills Mafia. Your season probably is already over, regardless of who they run out there. And that's not just me spewing lava. That's me looking at your schedule. You versus the Chargers, you at Minnesota, you at Green Bay, you versus Tennessee, you at Houston, you at Indy, you versus New England. I know it's only week two. I know there's a ton of football left. But when you lose by 44 in the opener to the Ravens, and you look at the rest of that schedule, good luck finding a win. Never mind winning, given that they've got to face nasty defenses in San Diego and Minnesota next. You better hope that nobody does leave in a body bag, especially Allen. So I see McDermott working here. Peterman not only may have to find a new place to work, he may need to find a new line of work. And if they think that Allen can handle the physical and emotional beating that he is sure to face in those games, and it's not going to destroy him physically or mentally, you may as well take your shot. But then again, what choice do they really have? I know this. You know this is not what McDermott wanted. He'd already spoken previously about how Andy Reid back in the day did not want to start Donovan. Well, to you clones, Drunkovan.
Chlorophyll.
McNabb. Until November of that year, that first year. So the last thing McDermott wants is to feed Allen to the Chargers and then to the Vikings. But given how horrible Nate Pete is, and the fact that he doesn't want to lose his own locker room in week two, he's got no choice. He's making the best of two terrible choices. Godspeed, Josh. Good luck, brother. You're sure as hell going to need it. Arm talent does not matter when you're concussed and you're lying on your back. That's not the choice McDermott wanted to make. Not that soon. But he's got no choice. Based on who his QB1 was last week, and what the Chargers did to that guy last year, and what they're sure to do to him again. Bills Mafia, get up in here, come in here, break it down. What do you make of your situation? You snap the longest playoff drought in the NFL. You get back there last year, way ahead of schedule, and now look at you. You break that drought last year, and then 1 week in, your season's already over. And now you've got to run Josh Allen out there. Now Nate Peterman cannot be the human shield for your star quarterback, potential star quarterback. But I don't see what choice McDermott has. At RG in Peoria, can you let me know which segment will be the Beatles take? Signed, Billy Squire. Billy Squire didn't tweet the show. Everybody. That's fake. Fake tweet. And let me also preemptively say no to this. No, getting Trevor Price and I to number one on iTunes will not get me to do a take on the Beatles. I'm not doing it. That's not going in the box of chaos either. We're not doing it. I mentioned earlier this week, I'm not a Beatles guy. I'll take the Who and the Stones both over the Beatles. Yeah, no, sacrilege, right? I'll tell you what's sacrilege. The four of those dudes going all Jay Stew, never mind. Major Applewhite, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Major Applewhite, next hour. And a lot more still to come. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. That's your first hour. Hour number two, straight ahead. Do not go anywhere.